you, Lord. You know, sometimes you just gotta, well, I just don't feel like shouting. That's the best time to shout. We don't go by feelings. When you're feeling something, it's sometimes good to do the opposite. Amen? Well, let's make our confession of faith. All right? Hallelujah. There we go. Let's confess our confession. Victory Christian Fellowship is a growing, thriving, and flourishing body of believers. We are well-watered, well-fed, and spirit-led into all truth. We are like sheep that lie down in green pastures beside still waters. We lay hold to eternal life and profess a good confession before many witnesses. We have favor with government, businesses, and people in our region. We shout for joy and are glad because we favor God's righteous cause. We say the Lord be magnified as he takes pleasures in the prosperity of his people. We multiply and bring forth good fruit. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. We always speak the word of God with our mouth. We meditate in it day and night that we may observe to do according to all that is written in it. In doing this, we shall make our way prosperous and have good success. As a church, we look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the object of our faith and the source of our faith. Our faith is in him alone. We have more than enough to do all that we are called to do. We are born of God and overcome the world through our victorious faith because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Our vision is to proclaim the uncompromised Word of God, to build a strong body of believers, to encourage relationships in a caring and loving atmosphere, and to reach out beyond our walls with the message of salvation, hope, and deliverance. We activate God's word to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Victory Christian Fellowship, we are inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. Amen. Glory to God. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. How many want to enter into the realm of making the impossible possible? Say, I want to make the impossible possible. Well, God has given us the wonderful privilege to make the impossible possible, and it's going to be with what I deal with tonight. You know, we live in a time when the devil wants to shake you. He wants to see if he can dislodge your foundation. He wants to see if he can turn you away from keeping your focus where it needs to be. He wants to cause you to fear about the future, about the economy. You know, the news doesn't help, because they jump right in and they just distribute the message that Satan wants to shake you. You know, we sang about, I will not be shaken. Say that. Say, I will not be shaken. And how are you not going to be shaken? Because with what we're going to talk about tonight. And man, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And for you ladies, November 14th, Saturday, I guess that's the Saturday coming up. It's a woven meeting. You don't want to miss it. So if you're a lady, come here at 10 o'clock on Saturday, and you'll be blessed. You'll be glad you came. But you know, there are things happening in our world that are designed to really take your eyes off Jesus. And when we lose this, Satan can easily have a foothold, and that's our trust. Amen. We don't want to lose our trust. And in Proverbs chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 1. So I want to talk to you tonight about you must trust. All right? He says, my son, that includes daughters, forget not my law or teaching. Now let's just stop right there. What happens when you forget something? You ever forget your keys? And you're in a hurry? That just messes up the whole program, doesn't it? Is it possible to forget what God said? Is it possible to forget what God did? We could ask the Israelites who were in the wilderness, who saw God's miracle working power every day. They saw water come from a rock. They saw quail enter the camp. They saw manna come down from heaven. They saw sweet or bitter water turn sweet. They saw them pass through the Red Sea. But many of them lost their trust because they saw a miracle one day and complained about it the next day. So he said, forget not. Say, forget not. Notice that wasn't a suggestion. That's a command. Forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. You know, if you can just trust in your heart, if you can just remain steady in your heart, if you can just remain fixed in your heart will always guide you in the right direction. Your heart is the spiritual compass that will guide you through life. It always points north. Verse 2. What happens when you keep his law, when you don't lose your trust? Length of days and years of a life worth living. How many want a life worth living? Amen? God just doesn't want you scraping by. He wants you to enjoy abundant life. And tranquility, inward and outward. Who wants peace inward and outward? Amen? And continuing through old age till death. Oh yeah, I remember the one day I was blessed. God wants you to live a blessed life. You know, yeah, I remember that blessing came 10 years ago. Man, was I blessed then? Well, what happened now? Have you lost your trust? Have you let circumstances shake you? Have you let things come in? Have you let have people let you down and lose your trust? You know, people can mess you up. And they can get your eyes off God. Get your eyes off people. Guess what? I got a newsflash. People will let you down. But God will never let you down. So we got to keep our trust in Him. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness. I'm reading from the Amplified. Shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth. Let mercy, kindness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Let not mercy, kindness, or truth forsake you. How does it forsake you? When you quit trusting in God. When you start trusting in man. When you start trusting in your ability. When you start trusting in the natural things. When you start relying on your experience instead of the Holy Spirit. That's when kindness, mercy, and truth will forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Verse 4. So shall you find favor. when you bind it on your neck and write it on your heart, when you keep it in your heart, you're going to find favor. When you continue to trust, even when it looks like everything around you is falling apart, when you say, my trust is in God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him, yet will I believe in him. For 9 months, Job lost everything. His health, his wealth, his family. He had to scrape sores from his body sitting in ashes. And he had to keep trusting. Because at the end, we know the Bible said God's desire for Job was at the end of Job. He had wanted to do that for Job all along. But for some reason, Job couldn't get there until the end when he began to pray for his friends. When he began to put his trust in God, God brought to him twice as much what he lost. Twice as many sons. Twice as many cattle. Yeah, he went through some things, but when he kept trusting, he came out on the end. I don't want you to lose your trust tonight. Because there are things in the world that will cause you to lose your trust. I want you to, you know, when we were at this thing in Tulsa, Mark Hankins had this saying. He said, you got to swing out on the cornstalk over hell and spit in the devil's eye. Swing over hell and spit in the devil's eye. So when you keep your trust, you're going to find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, when you trust God, you can go through a trash heap and come out smelling like a rose. You can go through a furnace and not even smell like smoke when you trust God. When you don't care what happens to you, your trust is in God. He will show up. He'll be right there with you in the fire. He'll be right there with you in the tomb. He'll be right there with you in the darkness to lead you out. But you got to trust. You've got to make a decision that no matter what, I'm trusting God. That's what I'm dealing with tonight. Trust. You must look at your neighbor and say, you must trust. Now, what happens if you're trusting God and your neighbor falls away? Should you quit trusting God too? No. This is what I'm saying. No matter what happens, you trust God. Verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. You're not going to figure God out. You're not going to know how he is going to deliver you. Paul and Silas had no idea that when they began to sing praises in the midnight hour after having been beaten and stuck in the deepest, darkest part of the prison, they had no idea that God was going to shake the prison and open up their cells and drop off their chains. But because they trusted God, they began to sing in the midnight hour. Now, I'm sure that they didn't feel like singing. Why don't we take you to some of those Roman soldiers, beat you like they beat them, put them in chains, not give them anything for their wounds, and I'm sure that dungeon did not smell nice. But yet they found a way to praise God in spite of their circumstances. Yeah, their circumstances. What happened? They got a girl delivered from a demon, and they got put in prison for it. But you know what? God had to have someone in that prison to reach that jailer. And Paul and Silas could have been in prison. They could have said, Paul, Silas, why did this happen to us? Could have, but they didn't. They chose to trust God. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. Okay, God, I'm going this way. Is this the way you want me to go? God, I'm going this way. Is this the way you want me to go? God, I'm going this way. Is this the way you want me to go? Acknowledge God in all your ways. And what? He will direct your paths. The reason that we haven't gotten direction is because we're relying on ourselves too much. And you know what? If you want to be your own God, God will let you. He'll say, okay, let's see how you do. Remember, he had to deal with Job. Were you there when I created the worlds? Were you there when I hung the stars in place? Were you there when I told the water to have a boundary and it obeyed? Were you there? Job was like, no, I wasn't. You know, sometimes God has to change your perspective because you've allowed other things to replace your trust in God with something else. Listen, I've passed up marvelous opportunities to quit trusting God. Did you hear what I'm saying? I passed up marvelous opportunities to quit trusting God. Powerful. This is a powerful verse. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. This kind of goes along with what he's saying in Proverbs 3, 5. Verse 6, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, I'm about to say something that's going to be a reality check for some of us. If you're worrying, you are not trusting God. If you're worrying, you're relying on yourself and not God. Bottom line. Did he say you can be anxious about some things? He didn't, did he? Remember, this is not a suggestion. You know, there's over 6,400 and some commands in the Bible. We did a study with our youth last night, and we talked about why and how we should read the Word, and I gave them some statistics, but I can't give them all to you now because we're going to save them for a later date. But see, now I just planted a thought in your mind. You're going to say, I got to show up to hear those things. Do not fret. Do not fret. Now, if the Bible says do not fret, you have a choice. You can fret or not. Do not have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, and in everything, by prayer and petition. When you pray, it's a demonstration of your trust. Because you're in a circumstance that you don't know how to solve it, you don't know how to get through it, you don't know how to overcome it. So the object is, you don't complain, but you pray. And you pray with anxiety-free prayer. Amen? This is an anxiety-free zone. We got to kick anxiety out the door. Why? Because it'll mess you up. Then he goes on to say, when you pray without anxiety and you pray with thanksgiving, thanksgiving shows trust. It shows rest. It shows confidence. Notice, this is just the beginning of the prayer, not the end. We want to thank God at the end of our prayers. Or some want to thank God only when they see the answer. But it doesn't take any faith to thank God before you see it. It takes faith to thank God when you can't see it. What happens when you do this? And God's peace. Listen to God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God, being content with earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding. Woo! You're in a situation and you feel fear come up, you feel worry come up, you're starting to get anxious. What am I going to do? You say, anxiety, you got to go out the door. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done. You begin to thank God, you begin to pray God, and all of a sudden something comes on you. Ooh, I like that. God's peace. It's a peace that passes understanding. What's that peace going to do? It's going to keep your heart and your mind in Christ, in the anointing, in the anointed one. You got to fix your eyes on Christ. See, but in order to do that, you got to kick anxiety out the door. You can't put your eyes on Christ and be anxious at the same time. But when you get rid of anxiety and you're trusting God through prayer, you got to trust God in your prayers. You know, you got to be confident in your prayers. And the only way to be confident is to know what His Word said. And God's peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. But now look at verse 8. Whatever is worthy of reverence or honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on. Weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. If you want to keep that peace, you got to bring your mind in control of godly things. Because if you pray and you're trusting God, anxiety's been kicked out the door, and you get done praying and you start complaining, you've just negated your prayer. Well, I wonder why God's not answering me. Because your mind wasn't thinking on the right thing after the prayer. Why should you think on the right thing after you pray? Because there's a danger of negating your prayer. You can't just let your mind have its way. You tell your mind what to think on. Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2. Did you know that you can think like Christ? You can think like the anointing? You can think like the anointed one. You can't just pray a godly prayer and then have negative words to follow up that prayer. Otherwise, you've just canceled out each other. You've negated your prayer. See, if you want to keep the peace after you pray, you gotta fix your mind on whatsoever things are good, honest, just, lovely, of good report. What's the best news report you're ever going to hear? It's right here. Why do you think trust has to do with keeping the Word of God in your heart? See, when the Word's in your heart, you're going to think on the right thing. But too many people have a starved heart. When they go to the heart cupboard, the cupboard is bare. Because they put nothing in the cupboard. They forgot to go to the grocery store, and you got an empty heart, and when you need it, there's nothing there. So you got to put the Word in you long before you pray. It's part of trust. Someone say amen. I had no idea how this was going to come out tonight. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 4, 22 through 24 talks about listening to the Word, inclining your ear to His saying, and it says, for they are life to those that find them. When you find the Word, you have to be looking for the Word in order to find it, first of all. It's life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Then right after that, he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Then verse 24 says, put away from you from a false and dishonest speech, willful and contrary talk, put far from you. Part of guarding your heart is guarding your speech. Your speech has a lot to do with creating the circumstances you have right now. Your speech. Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I want to get to two places tonight too. So I got to have some time to get there. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. Well, we can start with verse 1. Psalm 37. Fret not yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, fret not. Because of evildoers. Did you know that there are evildoers in the world? There are evildoers all over this place. But you know what? We don't have to fret. Neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness. You don't have to be envious of the gangsters. Oh, look at what the gangsters have. Look at what they... You don't have to be envious of them. Because guess what? If that's what they have, that's all they're going to get unless they change their heart. And they can't take it with them. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. God's going to mow some grass pretty soon. And the thing that you were envious about, you're going to say, I was envious of that? Now look at verse 3. For trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. Notice he never said in man, in your pastor, in your church. Guess what? I'm a human being. I may let you down. I may do something that you don't like. You might do something I don't like. But the Lord solves the problem. Let's put our trust in the Lord. That way we're not shaken. No matter if you do anything or if I do anything, we're not shaken. Not shaken, just stirred. You know, the Bible says, stir yourself up. I'm not shaken, but I am stirred. Like I said, I had no idea what was going to come out. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed securely, surely on his faithfulness. And truly you shall be fed. We are well watered, well fed. Amen. And then verse 5. So you've got to trust in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. You got to commit. I'm a Christian, but I'm not committed. That's like a jumbo shrimp. Can't be. Commit. Say commit. What do you commit? You commit your way to the Lord. Not my way, but your way. Oh yeah, this is what I wanted to do. Yeah, sometimes you got to lay down what you want to do. Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I don't want to. I can't talk. I'm not eloquent. I've made man's mouth. I'll give you brother Aaron. Who shall I say sent them? Say that I am, I am. I. Moses, I'm getting angry. You better hush. Yeah, Moses kept trying to put his way. And until he committed his way to the Lord, that's when the Lord could do a mighty work in him, but he was resisting commitment. Because he was refusing to lay down his way. Every excuse that he listed to God was natural. He was putting his trust in himself and not in God. When he finally put his trust in God, what happened? He did miracles. God gave him a powerful stick. What's in your hand? I got a stick. Okay, I can use that. See, when you commit your sticks to the Lord, he can use it. You may have a stick in your hand. Commit it to the Lord and watch what he can do with it. Amen? And then verse 7. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him. Patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. So you got to trust, you got to commit, and you got to be still before God in order to not be shaken and to keep your trust. You got to commit, you got to trust, and you got to be still before God. And it's harder to be still in our busy lives. Oh, I got to do this, I got to go here, I got to go there. Take some time and be still. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you haven't penciled in God in your appointment book. You're too busy doing other things. Well, where's God? Oh, go to Psalm 125. I got to read this before I go on. Oh, this is good. Woo! Psalm 125. This is good. Those who trust in, lean on, and confidently hope in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides and stands forever. That tells me that when you trust, you're not shaken. Glory to God. You're not shaken because you're trusting, and you're trusting, that's why you're not shaken. So when things happen, they can happen around you, but you're not moved. You're held secure. Jesus is your shield and your buckler. It can blow by you here. It can come by you here, but it's not coming near your dwelling because you're trusting the Lord. Trust. A simple word, but a hard action. And the devil tries to hurt you to disrupt your trust. When people hurt you, I'm never going to trust them again. Well, your trust was in the wrong place in the first place. It was in people. It wasn't in the Lord. That's why you were so shaken. That's why and so the devil just came and disrupted your trust. He revealed what you were trusting in. When you get hurt, you stop loving. You stop showing mercy. You stop extending forgiveness. And after what the Lord went through at the cross, stripes on his back, bleeding from his head, palms and feet, side, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why? He totally trusted God. He was not moved even by crucifixion. He was saying, the crucifixion doesn't even move me. I'm only moved by God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He totally trusted God. And on the third day, he came out of the grave. That's what trust will do for you. Go with me to Genesis 24. I'm going to close with two stories tonight. Genesis 24. And let's start with verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Say, in all things. That's our heritage. God wants you blessed in all things. He wants your marriage blessed. He wants your family blessed. He wants your bank account blessed. He wants your dog blessed. He wants your cat blessed. He wants your parakeet blessed. He wants your car blessed. He wants your kids blessed. He wants your house blessed. He wants your job blessed. Say, I'm blessed in all things. That's only if you maintain your trust. If you break your trust, watch the blessings go. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house, Eliezer of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, he said, I beg you, put your hand under my thigh. He was entering into a covenant with him. He said, you shall swear by the Lord your God of heaven and earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I have settled. But you shall go to my country, to my relative, and take a wife for my son, Isaac. The servant said to him, but perhaps the woman will not be willing to come along with me to this country. Must I take your son to the country from which you came? Abraham said to him, see that you do that not. Do not take my son back there. Verse 7. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family and my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife from there for my son. Where is Abraham's trust? He's trusting in the Lord to find a wife for his son whom he believed for. Okay, verse 12. Eliezer goes on this mission. And he gets to the place where his master told him to go. And he said, he began to pray when the women came to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you cause me to meet with good success today. Did you know that God wants you successful? He's praying for success. He's trusting God for success. He could have just went to look for the most beautiful woman he could find. But he's not even looking at the natural circumstances. He's talking to God before anything ever happens. This is called trust in the right place at the beginning. And give me good success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming to draw water. And let it so be that the girl to whom I say, I pray you, let down your jar that I may drink. And she replies, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Let her be the one whom you have selected and appointed and indicated for your servant Isaac to be a wife to him. And by it I shall know that you have shown kindness and faithfulness to my master. He wanted a person who wasn't afraid to be diligent. You know? You're talking about the richest person in the county was Isaac. He was scheduled to inherit all of Abraham's wealth. But the point is, this servant has learned how to trust God. He watched his master trust God. He watched the birth of Isaac come to pass when he knew that Sarah and Abraham could not have kids. He's been with Abraham for a long time. And he prayed a simple prayer expressing trust in God. And what happens? Just as he prayed, Rebekah came along, and he said, can I get some water from you? She said, sure. She said, let me water your camels too. Verse 19 says, I will draw water for your camels also until they finish drinking. Now, how long do you think that? He had like 10 camels. And when, verse 22, when the camels had finished drinking, or verse 20, so she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well and drew water for all his camels. The man stood gazing at her in silence, waiting to know if the Lord had made his trip prosperous. He's there with expectation. See, when you trust God, it will produce expectation. And God, your expectation is God's invitation. You expect nothing, you get nothing, because that's what you expected. So you weren't disappointed. But if you expect big things, and big things happen, ooh, you're blessed. Amen? And go down to verse 25. She said also to him, "We have straw and provender or fodder enough, and also room in which to lodge." The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He prayed to God. He was expecting God to answer exactly as he prayed. He trusted God, and when he saw it come to pass, he worshiped the Lord. He kept his trust from beginning to end, and God brought it to pass. He provided Isaac with a bride, which gave birth later to the 12 tribes of Israel. And Abraham's family really started to take off. Go with me to Nehemiah. Chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 4. Nehemiah sees the condition of the wall. It's tore down, and it touched his heart. He wept over the condition of the wall of Israel. And in verse 4, he says, "When I heard this, I sat down and wept and mourned for days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Who's he trusting in? He sees a need, and the Lord is leading him to meet this need. And he sees how great the need is, so he prays to God before he ever endeavors. God may be telling you something great. Matter of fact, he's got the greater one on the inside. Greatness is closer than you think. And the greater one is speaking to some of you. He's calling you to something big, and you look at it and say, "How am I going to do that big thing?" Pray and trust God. Notice what he prays. Verse 5. "And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God who keeps covenant, loving kindness, and mercy for those who love him and keep his commandments." Where did Nehemiah have these words? In his heart. He had been storing up these words in his heart. Because he's not leaning on his own self. He's talking how big God is. He's not even mentioning how great the wall is. He's mentioning how big God is. Verse 6, "Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to listen to the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you this day and night for the Israelites." That's when you know someone is trusted, is when they pray until the answer comes. "Oh yeah, I prayed. Has the answer come?" "No. What you doing now?" "Oh, I don't know." Well, then you quit trusting. See, someone who trusts, they're gonna keep at it. They're gonna go after it until it's done. And he said, day and night he was praying, "Your servant confessing the sins of the Israelites. We have sinned against you. Yes, I and my father's house have sinned." True intercessor. Equate yourself with the people you're praying for. He didn't say, "Oh, those nasty people, we have sinned." Verse 8, remember what you commanded your servant Moses. How did he know what he commanded Moses? Because he read it, he hung it on his neck, wrote it on his heart. He said, if you transgress and are unfaithful, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. He's quoting Leviticus 26, 23, or 33. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts were in the farthest part of the heavens, yet will I gather them from there and will bring them to the place in which I have chosen. You know what? You might be believing for loved ones. Keep trusting God, and God will bring them in. He said, from the farthest parts. Go down to verse 10. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and your loving hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight and to revere and fear your name. I pray your servant this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was a cupbearer to the king. And we know what happened. He went to the king. He looked pretty sad. And the king said, Nehemiah, why are you sad? And he was a little bit reluctant to tell the king, but then he said, I want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And what happened? The king supplied everything he needed because he trusted the Lord. We're all on different levels tonight. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But let me ask you this, are you trusting God? God is bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than your problem, and you need to make a decision that no matter what people do, you are going to trust God. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, no matter what people do, whether they're close to me or not, I will trust you. I will rely on you. I will hope in you. I will not let the devil cause me to quit trusting God, because you are faithful, you are good, you are true, you are the light. You never leave me nor forsake me. My trust is in you. So devil, bring your best. I'm not being moved. I want you to get that in your heart, that you're not being moved. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what the police officer says. I don't care what anybody says. You're going to trust God, and God's going to see you through. He's going to bring you through because he's faithful. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off people. Put them higher. Let's come up higher tonight. Let's trust God. Let's really trust him. Let's invest our trust in God and let nothing move you. Nothing. Don't stop giving because of the reports of the economy. The economy is not your source, by the way. God is your source. Keep giving, keep tithing, because that's important to the Lord. Now, if Isaac can sow and the same year reap 100-fold because he sowed where the Lord told him to sow, what do you think can happen to you? If God can part the Red Sea, when you got the Egyptian army represents the world, and they're on your heels. They're ready to overcome you. The chariots, you can hear the sound of the horses and the wheels turning. And you're like, what are you going to do? Raise your staff. Moses, raise your staff. You're crazy. Yeah, but look what happened. See, now you got to trust God in the simple instructions as well as the big instructions. If you can't trust him in the little things, he's not going to tell you anything big. It doesn't work that way. He'll give you a step. And if you take that step, then he'll show you the next step. You can't go from 2 to 4. God does not work that way. If you don't think so, just try to get to 4 without going to 3 and see what happens. The step's too big for you. so you'll fall flat on your face. We're living in a time and an hour when we got to trust God. Things are happening at a rapid pace in our world today. Good things and bad things. But I want you to be sure that your trust is in God. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Look up, because that's where your redemption draws nigh from. That's where your help comes from. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your experience. At best, your experience is a teacher, but it's not a prophet. You can change your circumstances simply by trusting God. And when you trust God, the impossible will become possible. Jesus told a man whose son was possessed with the devil. He said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He cast the devil out of the boy. He said, "All things are possible to them that believe, them that trust, them that are not easily shaken, them that are fixed in the word." So tonight, if you have an offering, if you have your tithe, you can give it. Don't shortchange God. Don't take God's tithe, because the tithe is not even ours. If we use God's tithe for anything else, we're it's stolen property. Heard one preacher say, you drove in here on a stolen car, wore stolen clothes. Why? We take our tithe and we do it for our own. It's not your tithe. It's the Lord's tithe. Amen? And you know what? You can't go wrong investing in God's kingdom. Do you trust God that He's your source? Then, if you trust God that He's your source and supply, then generosity will overflow your heart. Amen? Father, thank you for tonight. And you know what? If you're here tonight and you haven't been trusting God, you need to make an adjustment right now in your heart. Say this with me. Say, "Father, I surrender all my mind, my will, my emotions, my feelings, my body, my finances, my friends, my family. It's all yours. I commit it to you, and I thank you for leading and guiding me in the way I should go and what I should do with all this stuff. It's yours, Lord. I follow your lead. I obey your command. In Jesus' name, amen." Have a great night. God bless you.